All right. Thank you, Sister Morton. We appreciate the message and song. Psalmist said, be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes we get so busy, we don't seem to take time to get quiet before the Lord. I appreciate the good message and song. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Familiar text, but I maybe go a little different direction on it this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start reading in about verse 23 and read down through verse 25. Hope you'll find it with me. We'd love for you to bring your Bible and look and see for yourself. When you come to our church, if you bring the Bible we use, then everybody's got one just like it. And it'll say the same thing. Somebody wrote a book one time, said things that are different are not the same. And that's important to know, especially when it comes to so-called Bible versions. A lot of them are perversions, amen. Hebrews chapter 10, pick it up with me in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And probably my text is this next verse 25. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now I recognize this is the first Sunday, first day of the new year. And I recognize a lot of folks make New Year's resolutions. I've never had a whole lot of trust in that. But it's a time of celebration. We heard all the fireworks going off last night as we ended our service here about a little bit after 12 and felt like I was driving through a war zone getting home. But we recognize that time of year. And a lot of pagan tradition goes along with New Year's. They had the big deal in New York dropping some kind of ball up there. As far as I'm concerned, they dropped the ball a long time ago. But anyway, a lot of big pagan-type celebration that goes on here and there. Pagan traditions, including sometimes, you know, there's certain folks that believe you got to eat a certain thing on New Year's Day. I won't ask you what, but how many of you ever heard that? Oh, that's a bunch of hands. How many ever done that? Another bunch of hands. A bunch of pagans out there, sure enough. Anyway, that a lot of that, if you trace it up, and I'm not going to spend time on it, but if you trace it back, it really goes back into big-time paganism. Really, I'm not joking about that. My grandma had superstitions concerning New Year's Day. She would whip us kids if we started with anything that appeared to be like a box, either taking it in or out of the house on New Year's Day. And she thought she was in the Bible. I think she was wrong. But she thought she was in the Bible about if you brought a box in or a box out, that might represent during that year somebody was going to go in and out in a casket. Now, back then, the caskets did go in and out of the houses. You do remember that. Anyway, there's a lot of traditions, a lot of stuff. But in our text right here, in the context, it's Hebrews. And in a sense, the book of Hebrews is probably written to the Hebrews. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote it. I believe he presents the great argument against the Judaism and the sacrifices and shows them how much better everything is in Christ and his sacrifice. But I still believe there's application to us. Now, it may even come into its strongest being during the tribulation period with the Jews. They may get into the book of Hebrews and accept and learn some things, but I believe it's for us today. And it says that we can see the day approaching. A particular day is approaching, and it can be seen according to verse 25 here that I read. But I'm gonna give that day a little bit of a name, and you're going to see what's on my mind this morning somewhat. I'm going to call it the mortgage claim day. And we've talked about wearing the button and trying to pay off the mortgage in 2017, and you're going to hear a lot about that. Hey, just a commercial here. we'd save a bunch of interest. Just a bunch of interest, and that would just be wonderful. Anyway, you'll see where I'm going here in just a moment. A lot of special days in the scripture, long foretold, many days. We just got through with Christmas. Wasn't that foretold? You heard all the singing about little town of Bethlehem. Wasn't that predicted in Micah chapter 5, verse 2? That was a day. It was a time that was set forward, and it was a time that it was going to happen, whether folks recognized it or not, and a lot of the religious Jews did not. But even the wise men from the east were looking for a star. That was a day that was predicted a long time ago. There's many others as you go through the scripture concerning Christ. For instance, here in a little while, we'll be getting around Easter time, and we'll be talking to you about Palm Sunday, a day long predicted and dated to the exact time that he rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Then, of course, his death was predicted. Psalms 22, 1,000 years before Christ was born, tells of the crucifixion, what he would say on the cross, the details as the psalmist wrote about it. A day that came. There was finally that day come. They said, away with him, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us. And he laid down his life. No man took it from him. And he became the sacrifice on the cross as they mutilated his body and did all the horrible things they did. But that was a day that had long been predicted. And then the day of his resurrection was predicted. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That day happened. He said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Didn't he say that? He predicted it, and it was a day that they went to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. Bless God. In John chapter 8, there was a day when Jesus was kind of arguing with the Pharisees. They were attacking him. They were playing gotcha with him like they play in politics today. And the Pharisees facing Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Rejoiced. And they said, you're not even 50 years old yet. How could you see Abraham? You remember that little discussion that went on, and Abraham was looking prophetically through the scripture to a day, the day of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord was talking about. But you know, I think about it, a lot of days predicted in the life of Christ, but then he predicted in the Word of God, predicts evil days that would come. There's always been evil days, but as we move toward the end and toward the coming of Christ and toward the final wrap up, the Bible has something to say about the evil days that would come. For instance, as we think about it, in the Old Testament, evil days were predicted. Nebuchadnezzar was predicted to come and take the Jews 70 years into captivity. Remember? Remember the book of Jeremiah there? In fact, I would say to you, a good study would be to go into Jeremiah about chapter 29, 30, and read it through about chapter 32, and you'll discover something that will kind of fit when I'm talking about the story of Israel's captivity. Jeremiah would have been the prophet. He would have been the preacher. He and Ezekiel both lived about the same time, and they were preaching that Nebuchadnezzar was coming to take the nation of Israel, the Jews, into captivity. You know what happened to Jeremiah for preaching like that? They put him in jail. In fact, the book of Jeremiah basically written from the jailhouse. You know that? You remember how it was brought before the king, and the king didn't like what Jeremiah said, so he ripped the pages out. That's one of the first new versions of the Bible. He ripped them out, threw them in the fireplace to burn them, did burn them. And the scribes went back, and Barak went back to Jeremiah, and he said, well, he burned it. And Jeremiah complained to the Lord, and the Lord said, that's okay, I'll give it to you again. And he gave it to him again. He enlarged it a little bit, and I've got it. You have too in the Bible, amen? Evil days predicted when they didn't want to have anything to do with the Word of God. But you know what? He preached the captivity of Israel happened. They came. They took them into captivity, like the preacher said. But while the preacher was in jail, something else happened. While he was in jail, his kinfolk came to visit him. That's more than you can say about a lot of kinfolk today. But he was in jail, and the kinfolk come to see him. They come to discuss a mortgage with him. Remember? Remember how it'll read very much like a closing on a piece of property will today, if you'll read right there in those chapters of Jeremiah. They came to Jeremiah and they said, look, we know you preached that we're going into captivity, but you preached something else also. And what else you preached was there was a time coming of victory on the other side when the captivity would be ended and when property values would go up again. We want to see if you believe your own preaching. The right of redemption according to Jewish law is thine, and there's a mortgage on the home place. And the kin folks were saying, Jeremiah, if you believe in the future being good, then you'll pay off the mortgage now. And here's an interesting thing. Before the kinfolk got there, God had already come and told Jeremiah they're coming. He told Jeremiah what they're going to say. And he told Jeremiah what to do. And so to their surprise, when they come in, Jeremiah said, fine, weigh it out. I'll pay it. Seal it. Notarize it, we'd say today. And they did. And Jeremiah took the mortgage. The right of redemption, that's a scriptural term for the Jewish law, the right of redemption was his. What they were saying to him was, do you believe any hope in the future? If you really believe what you're preaching, then you'll also pay off the mortgage, because when you come back, or we come back from captivity, it'll be yours. And we translate that into modern times, so we can understand that. But I think about those evil days were predicted on the Jews and how it turned out. I want to say also, there's present evil days we're in our country today were predicted.
That's right.
If I were to flip over to about 2 Timothy chapter 3, it reads actually better than your headlines today. Let me read you just a little bit of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Boy, that's our headlines today. More men being killed in Chicago than on the battlefield. Perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There's your abortion crowd. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, there's your fake news, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and here's one that's big, despisers of those that are good. You know how to get in trouble today? Just do right. Isn't that amazing? Just stand for what's godly. Get yourself in trouble quicker than any other way. And the sad truth is we're seeing that. So the days that we're in, the evil days in our country right now, no natural affection. I saw this week, I forget which paper I read in, baby brains that have been aborted selling for $200 a brain. America. Not the black market of China. America. And perversion, folks, that's where we're at. Evil. Being enthroned, reprobate minds, as the scripture calls it, Romans chapter 1, that God would turn them over to reprobate minds. It's a reprobate mind that's got in our colleges today. And folks, I say it over and over, but you ought to listen, people in radio land, you ought to listen. You ought to quit sending your kids to these worldly, ungodly colleges to have them brainwashed, where when they get home, you don't even recognize who they are. You see in the news this week where the colleges, several of them, one in Vermont and some others, are telling the students, do not assume gender identity. If that person comes up to you and you might look at them and think they're a woman, you got to be careful. They may want to be a man that day. I'm not joking. They are even giving out tags. Isn't that crazy? I mean, if I, God help somebody that can't recognize a woman or a man. Amen. Talk about perversion. So I got to wear a tag saying, today I'm a he, tomorrow I'm a she. My soul, reprobate mind, that's what the Bible calls it. That's what it is. That's the day that that we've moved into. And I'm not stretching that a bit. That's exactly what many of them are doing. Colleges are doing that today. And some real funny stuff going on. For instance, the election upset so many of them so bad. The reason it did is because the establishment on both sides of the aisles, Democrat and Republican, was in control and they were happy about it. Now they're upset. They feel some of the power and some of the corruption that they had control of slipping away, and they don't know how to handle it. So they're doing everything in the world to make excuse and whining and carrying on and all of that business. And now it's all about spying. Who are we kidding? Nations have been spying on nations since the Jews went in to take Jericho. You remember the story? Spying's been going on big time. It went on in the Cold War, and somebody said, well, Cold War's over. Who are you kidding? It never stopped. We just stopped labeling some things, that's all. Do some of y'all remember? Now, we're acting like in the news that all of a sudden we caught Russia doing something we wouldn't do. Really? Crazy. They've been doing it, we've been doing it, and China's probably beating both of them at it. Did you see in the news, was in the news somewhere, where a lot of these cell phones, I guess everything's made in China, so I guess they make cell phones there too. Did you see where the cell phones have already become pre-programmed? So if you just bought one, you may own one, that all the Chinese has to do is just listen to everything you say. The software is already in the phone. You wouldn't give up your phone. It wouldn't matter what. I know that. All right. But spying, some of us are old enough in here, just a few presidents back, we went over to Moscow and we built an embassy. A big several million dollars building. And just before we moved in, it was discovered that the Russians had slipped in and wired all the walls to listen to us. So we lost the money. We couldn't use the building. That was a long time back. That's before Hillary was a household word. Amen. Way back. When I went to Russia, and some of you did, in the 90s, we went on some mission trips. They designated the hotel we had to stay in. They designated the room. They had sitting outside in the hall a couple of ladies that pretended to be PR people, but they were spies. And we were smart enough to know that. And I remember saying to the preachers that when we went in the room, I said, this room is bugged. Oh, no. I said, yeah, it is. Some of you might have been with me. One or two of you already gone to heaven since then. I got me a chair. And I crawled up in the chair, and I looked in the smoke detector. And there's a little microphone. You could see it just as plain as you could see anything. And you know what? We knew that, so we sang them some songs. They'll never be the same to hear me sing, I'll tell you that. We sang, ha, 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 ha. Lenin is dead, Jesus is alive. Tried to torment them. Now, the truth is, spying's been going all along, but somebody needed another excuse for the way the election turned out. They don't admit it might be the issues. Might be the issues of abortion. Might be the issues of health care. Might be a whole pile of issues. But they don't face that. They just can't believe their agenda was turned down. But it was. I mean, we're in a reprobate mind area, and the election upset them, no doubt about it. But I want to say the greatest war is not what the news is talking about. The greatest war is within America, of the power grab that had already taken place, and a lot of folks are upset, and it's not going to stop. The news media is going to keep playing gotcha, and everything. If the man coming in, I pray for him that he, number one, as Scotty said last night, I pray if he's not saved, he'll get saved, and I pray for his protection, and I pray he won't compromise out. And that worries me. I taught in Sunday school this morning. This sounds sort of like it. I taught in Sunday school this morning about moving the embassy, American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And the Congress asked for that. They voted on it. They put a bill on it. But now the presidents have done it. Now Trump says he will. We'll have to wait and see. I sure hope he does. You ought to pray that he will. But the real war inside America today, the perverts trying to take over, and it is amazing the viciousness that we're seeing about it right now. I'm saying to you, there is a day, I'm designating it as mortgage claim day, that's coming. In the text right here, it speaks of the day. The more we see the day approaching. So it means if I see it way down there and now it's moving this way and it's moving this way and it's moving this way, it's coming, it's approaching. And say, well, it tells us in the verse first what we ought to do because we see it coming. It tells us we ought to be more faithful. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You know what? We need one another to encourage ourselves. The Lord knew what he was doing when he started the church and when he left it here. It is to get the lost saved, but it's more than that. It's to disciple God's people. It's to be a support for God's people. It's to be a strengthening for God's people. We need that fellowship. We need it. Listen, after you get saved, you know what you'll do? The flesh will take over and you'll burn out. And you'll get off the battlefield and you'll drop by the wayside. And that's exactly what the devil wants for every one of us. But it helps us to encourage one another. That's what the assembling of ourselves together is here in the verse. And exhorting one another, that's an encouragement. You say, well, all I did Sunday was go to church and sit. No, you helped somebody else by coming. You helped yourself by coming. You encouraged somebody else, maybe, if you didn't even get encouraged. Let me ask you this. Some of you outdoors folks a little bit, especially some of you older folks that remember when we had to build fires in the house to either cook or get warm by. Did you ever build a fire with one stick and one match? Pretty hard. Pretty hard. The more sticks you get together, the easier it is to build a fire. And the more we get together and the more we help each other and exhort each other and encourage each other, the better we're going to burn for God instead of burning out by ourselves. And the Lord was wise in giving us the house of God to come and to assemble in, like this verse is talking about. But you know, it's talking about we see the day approaching. Now, spiritually speaking, I'm going to say the day for us is the time that the Lord comes to claim the mortgage he's already paid off, to claim the possession that he's already paid for. You look like you're skeptical. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. About three times in the scripture you have the word earnest mentioned here, and here's one of the times it tells exactly in its context. Ephesians, if you go back from Hebrews, go back to your left, pick up Ephesians before you get to Corinthians. In Ephesians chapter 1, listen to it. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So that's after you got saved. In whom you trusted, heard the word, the gospel of your salvation. Now watch this. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were, watch this one now, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. You see the word earnest? E-A-R-N-E-S-T, the earnest of our inheritance. What is my inheritance? I'm going to inherit heaven. Amen. I'm going to inherit all God's got for me. But you know what I have of, that's a promise to me, but you know what I've got right now? I've got the earnest of it. Let me get this down where you can really understand it. If you went to the old used car lot and you was going to buy a $400 car, you hadn't lived till you've done that. And the guy says, I'll sell it to you. Give me the money. Well, I don't have it all right now. I'll give you $50 down, earnest money. And I'll come back later and get it. You don't sell it to anybody else. You've already fooled me. You don't sell it to anybody else. I'll give you $50 earnest money. Well, I'm going to go back and work, and I'm going to save up the rest, and I'm going to come back in a designated time, and I'm going to get that full possession of that junker. Everybody following me on that? Do you understand when you get saved, you get sealed by the Holy Spirit? You get the earnest of the Holy Spirit living within you. Jesus has already paid the full price on the cross of Calvary, but he's coming back to possess us junkers. The whole possession. That's the picture you have right here in these verses I just read. And it says here, after you are sealed that the Holy, with the Holy Spirit of promise, here it is, which is the earnest of our inheritance until, there's a time there, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Verse 14. You know what? He not only made the down payment, he paid it off. That's better than the car illustration. He paid it all. I belong to him. He owns me. One day he's coming back to take all of me with him. Presently, spiritually, I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But right now I'm walking around in this old body. It hurts a little bit and it gives me some problems, but I'm still using it. But the day is going to come that he's either going to come and change it in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, to go up with him. He's going to possess it. Or I'm going to lay down this body in the ground and my soul's going to go to be with him. But on resurrection morning, he's not even going to let the ground, death, hold me there. He's going to take even the body and change it. And you reunite it with a living soul to be with him. The full possession is his. Now, you know, I rejoice in that. The earnest of the Holy Spirit of God. How do I know I belong to him? The Bible says, his spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. When we talk about, listen to me, when we talk about being born again by the Holy Spirit, when we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, when we say the Spirit led, hey, that's a real, genuine, practical thing. He lives on the inside. When we speak about grieving the Holy Spirit, it's a very real thing. I'd rather hit my finger with a hammer. I'd rather trip my toe and make it hurt than to do something wrong that makes the Holy Spirit grieve me on the inside. That's a real pain. Now, you say, I don't know what you're talking about. You should know if you've been saved. Now, I also want to say this. There's a lot of folks saved, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and they struggle against following God's leadership. They don't let the Spirit lead. They resist, and the more you resist, the more it hurts, and the less likely you're going to be blessed in God's full plan for your life. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. By the earnest of the Holy Spirit. And very, very real. Now, the fact is we're sealed by the Spirit of God. I'm hearing a baby cry, and I know it's not through that nursery where it should be over there. Listen to me a little bit here. The day of the text here is talking about a time he's coming back. The one that gave us the earnest of the Spirit is coming back to get the whole thing. That's what it's talking about. The fact is we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's very real and very practical. Sometimes somebody will hear a song like we hear in church, and the Holy Spirit says amen inside, don't he? That's real. That's practical. We hear a testimony like we heard last night, Brother Baker, 1 year ago, laying on the deathbed, few hours to live. A tremendous thing happened. They decided to give him a liver transplant, even though it looked like it was impossible. And last night, after he's been working here for months now, he was able to share that testimony. Now, I was here, and many of you were, and I felt the Holy Spirit inside saying amen. He shared in his testimony how on a Wednesday night, when he was so critical, when the decision was critical as to whether or not they would even attempt to give him a liver transplant, that we call the church to prayer right here at the altar and in our pews on a Wednesday night, and we prayed, God, give us a miracle and spare Brother Baker. We need him. And he told us last night what you, many of you already know. He was in the hospital bed. Someone was talking to him. At that very minute, he raised his hand and said, shh, something's happening. Yeah, something was happening. God touched him at that point. And we got him sitting over here right now and ushering this morning. And hey, you know what? That's a witness, because the Holy Spirit inside says amen to that. That's practical, folks. That's real. That's genuine. That's the earnest of the Spirit. And that same Spirit tells me, Jesus is coming back for me. He's going to take the full possession one day and take me up to be with him. He's already paid the mortgage off, no doubt about it. I belong to him. And I've got the earnest of the Spirit inside that tells me I'm sealed forever to be in his presence. May I ask you this morning? Have you let Jesus come in? Have you experienced the new birth? Do you know what this preacher's even talking about, that the Holy Spirit lives inside? Yes, he convicts you when you do wrong. Yes, he makes you joyful and happy over certain things, and you know it. You know it. It's a real thing, because you've been born of the Spirit of God. You have the earnest witness inside that he lives there. I ask you this morning, have you ever received Christ? Because when you get saved, that's what happens to you. You're sealed by the Spirit of promise forever. And you have a reminder that goes with you the rest of the journey this old flesh will have, whether it's to the rapture and we go up, or whether it's to the grave and we go down. We have the witness of God's Spirit within us. Very, very real. I ask you this morning, are you willing to come and confess your belief and your faith in the Lord Jesus that loved you and died for you on the cross of Calvary? If you do that, he not only writes your name in heaven, he puts a reminder inside, you belong to me now, and I'm coming back after you. I'm coming back to get you. Have you ever made that decision to receive Christ? I pray that you have. Let's bow our heads, please. Going to ask we stand to our feet quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, there's a lot of folks maybe join the church, but they don't know what I'm talking about. They don't have that testimony of being sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That very practical Spirit that lives in their heart to remind them of right and wrong, to bless their soul at times and to be grieved at times. I pray, Father, as we give an invitation this morning, that those that don't know Christ would come and receive him. Lord, they've heard the gospel, how Jesus loved them and died for them, how he was God incarnate in the flesh, how he come to pay off the mortgage on their soul, pay their sin debt. They've heard that. Lord, I pray they'd take that step of faith and accept him as Savior. Let him set up his Holy Spirit to reside inside. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation in a special way. Maybe somebody needs to move a church membership or something else, but especially that one that needs to come to Christ. Lord, I thank you for that day, that night, that the Holy Spirit spoke inside my heart to come, and I came and received Christ. From that minute on, Father, there's been your presence inside to let me know when I'd done wrong or right, that I belong to you. Bless an invitation now. Save that one that needs to come to Christ today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you say, preacher, I'm coming to receive Christ?